Welcome to the Emmaus Fellowship Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. Emmaus Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. We trust you find this encouraging as you pour over God's Word with us.
You gave me a voice and a song, taught me how to sing. Brothers and sisters, gave me a family.
It's good to be with you guys. So Chris Haggerty, I have to make sure I define the Chris's correctly. He referred to this year. He said, "Why, this has been an interesting year. How are you guys doing with it?" And I actually thought it would have been inappropriate, but I almost said, "This has probably been one of the best years of my life." Now, that sounds morbid, doesn't it? Sometimes when God takes us through an intense time, there's all kinds of stuff that he can resolve and deal with. When you're being blessed and you're on vacation and you're laying in the sand, you really don't want to ever deal with stuff. You just kind of want to chill. And when the pressure's put upon you, it's like the things that you're not willing to look at, the Lord brings to the surface. And things that need to be rejuvenated and set on fire, it seems to be in that time of pressure where all that stuff can just be accelerated. And so I just want to make a really weird confession. This last part of this year, I am enjoying so much. The intensity of it, it's changed my prayer life. I'm very grateful for that. I'm seeing things of the Lord I've never seen him do from walking with the Lord for more than 30 years now. And so just for me to you, this is where I'm at. Hopefully you guys can join me in this. I'm so grateful where we're at right now. I hope it intensifies. I believe that, guys, this is going to be a weird perspective. I think heaven's perspective is he wants this nation to know him. And we know too many other gods in this nation, and he's challenging all those things. It's okay. The Lord is with us. So that's just my perspective. Please stay in your perspective if you want to, but if you want to join me, come and join me. Have a lot of fun with it. Find your prayer life, get changed. Speaking of that, would you grab your Bibles and go with me to 1 John? And this is where we're going to be, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. To give a little, as you guys are turning there, I want to give you a little context of this scripture and church history. In 1863, right before the Civil War, a woman that is known in church history, she's now faded. It's been more than 100 years, so most people don't know who she is. But I had run into her. I was perusing through Christian bookstore one day, and I found this little pamphlet, and I thought her name looked interesting. Her name was Phoebe Palmer. I thought, who in the world is that? Started reading about her, found out that her husband was a physician in the 1800s, and her parents were discipled by John Wesley, and she was a Methodist woman preacher. And, you know, she used to teach on holiness and stuff like that, and she had an encounter with this scripture that I'm going to read with you today. And most people don't realize this, but the healing ministry of the Lord got rediscovered. She was the one that launched it into the United States in the 1863 through this scripture. It's a very powerful scripture. And as I've studied books on healing, deliverance, prophecy, prayer, everyone ends up dealing with this scripture. So it's a very powerful scripture that applies into a lot of areas, but let's go ahead and look at it, and hopefully we can learn what God's saying to us out of his word and be touched by it. So Chris prayed for me. I'm going to pray for you guys to be encountered by the word. Please join me in this. Holy Spirit, we've come to hear from you today. Take your spirit of wisdom and revelation and release it upon us as we hear the word. Let it go into the deep places and give us wisdom, God. Let us be a people that not only see your hand, but know your ways. I thank you for this season. I thank you for these people in this room. I ask that they would be blessed by your word today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. All right, we have 1 John telling us about God's love, and then it veers away from that and begins to have a conversation with you about prayer. Prayer. What is prayer? It says this, and this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. And we know he hears us. Whatever we ask, we know we have the request that we have asked of him. A lot of stuff to work through here. So this is now trying to not teach you how to pray, but what God's view of prayer is and what prayers he answers. And it's now going to come to you and I and say, let's not learn the methods of prayer. Let's learn the attitude of prayer. So there are methods of praying, right? There's intercession, petition, worship, praise, thanksgiving, request. Those are models of prayer or principles of prayer, but the Bible does come to you and I and say, yeah, but there's also an attitude in prayer. Do you realize that there are people that know the formulas of prayer but don't have the attitude of prayer? And then they're sitting back in amazement going, well, I don't know if God really is going to answer that prayer. I know I probably should do this, but I don't know if God's going to answer it. And God wants to come to that thing called an attitude of prayer and give you a confidence. And so this scripture is now trying to work with you and I and say, God doesn't just want you praying as an act of serving God. He wants you to have a confidence that when you talk to him, he's listening to you. And not only listening to you, but moving on your behalf. Have you guys gotten like I have over the years that I pray so many prayers, I kind of wonder, let's see, that's 10,500 requests. Which one does God pick and say, that's the one I'm going to answer? Do you guys ever think through that stuff? Okay, just me. It must be the water in Kansas City, but let's keep moving forward. Let's start working through. This is the confidence that we have towards him. So the Bible is saying here's a confidence that you are now to begin to have towards the Lord. The word confidence here is really interesting. It not only means resolved, it actually, so what it does is it gives you the definition, and then it starts building what we call layers of definition that are to constantly create a sense of, when we say we have confidence to ask the Lord something, what do we actually mean that we have a confidence? It actually means we have a resolve given to us. So the Bible's saying this is the resolve you should have when you stand before the Lord. Confidence, resolve. The resolve actually produces an attitude in your heart, and it actually goes now not to, well, I wonder if God's going to answer the prayer. It actually moves to this place of extreme, and that's the way it is in the Greek, extreme boldness. So, I come before God. He's saying there should be an attitude where you're resolved about something you're about to ask of him, and what it should create an attitude inside of you that you have extreme boldness to where you don't let go of it because you know God's wanting to answer this. He's wanting to change something through this thing that I'm going to talk to him about. Now, are you guys okay with me if I just back up with you for a minute about why God even commands us to pray in the first place? We find out in Scripture that God is in charge of everything. God owns the cattle on the hill. So why does he need us to pray? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, we have mankind being created in the image of God. And when God created us, he says, I've given you dominion. And when he said he gave us dominion, that is a legal term in the Hebrew that means mankind, image bearers, are the legal authority of whatever is going on in heaven. We're the ones that come into agreement with it legally. And if we say yes to it, God will release it on the planet. And when he gave that to man, he cannot pull that from man. By the way, the enemy cannot do whatever he wants. Even though man turned over this stuff to the enemy has to find someone because we still, even in our rebellion, are the legal authority of what the spiritual realm can do on this planet. He has to find someone that comes into agreement with him, and then he can do his will. That's called witchcraft, by the way. That's what the Bible calls it. Illegal authority. That's what witchcraft is. Illegal authority. So God, even though he's created everything, he's determined he will not do it unless he finds a son and daughter that agrees with him on this planet. Do you see how important you are and why God points to you and says, Chris, come before my throne. You have this place before me that I've not given any other created being in the universe. Angels don't even have this position. You are unique before God. God has determined that since you are his legal representative and his image bearer, that you have an identity to stand before him and see things change because of this agreement that he's made with his creation, that nothing else has that position. And now it's starting to come to you and it's saying, now Jesus has done this incredible work. Now you're not just an image bearer. Now you're in a new covenant where he has put his very spirit on you. You should have this thing inside of you that when you stand before God, you get an audience with a king that no one else gets to experience. And he actually listens to you. Got kind of intense when I pointed at Chris. I'll just point at Duncan. Let's keep moving on. Yeah. So this is the confidence, the resolve, the intense boldness we have when we come towards him. And then it says this, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. All right, so let's work at that. We ask anything according to his will. Why did it use that word? Why didn't it say if we ask anything about his will? Or if we ask in his will. Why did it use the word? I mean, do you guys ever do this? Maybe you're not like me. I figure they add these words because they're trying to get a specific thought across. They're not just trying to finish a sentence. So there's a reason why 1 John, John is writing and using this word specifically. What does the word according mean, specifically at that time in human history through the Greek New Testament? It actually means, it's kind of funny, see if I can describe it properly, if we ask anything according to his will. So it's saying, we ask anything, we find out what is going on up here in a higher plane. If we ask anything according to what that reality is, it's brought down into a lower plane. So the Bible's saying, here's the confidence you should have. Whatever's going on in heaven, that's God's will. Now, I think this is the part that probably is the struggle for me, at least, as I think about prayer. Isn't what's going on in heaven is what's going on in heaven? How does that have anything to do with what's going on the planet? And why does God want what's going on in heaven down here on earth? Well, we're back to the Genesis story again, aren't we? If God created you in his image and gave you the legal authority, you're an ambassador now. And you're taking what's going on in the country you've come from, and you're taking the atmosphere, the culture, the vision, and the standard, and you're transporting it into the location that you're at. And so the Bible's telling you, it's kind of like what we would call a princely or kingly concept here. You're going back into your homeland in prayer, and you're saying, all right, King of the universe, take this portion of your kingdom and put it in my location that you've made me an ambassador. Are you guys tracking with me so far? You have the legal right to take a portion of what is going on in heaven and as an ambassador, command it, pray it, and praise it into existence in your location. You are the legal authority to do this. Any evil that is being expressed on the planet is illegal authority. You have a greater authority the Lord has given you to break that power, take what's going on in heaven, and put it on earth. So it's saying, here's the resolve you should have. When you stand before God, you're looking up into heaven, and you see that, you don't just look at it and go, gosh, if I could go there someday. He's saying, no, I'm letting you see this portion of what's reality because I've brought you into a relationship with me. You're the person that gets to see that. So because I've given that to you, now it's your joy to actually sing it into existence here. Are you guys liking the idea I said sing? Prayer, sometimes, because there's several ways that the Bible describes prayer, we miss the rhythm of it. Well, it's a court case, and it is, and I'm going to show you that here in a moment. But I think prayer should be a symphony. It should be song. It should have this spontaneity to it. It should be this joyous thing. I get to pray. I get to see the world change by just singing unto God and singing His song over His creation. It's supposed to have that kind of spontaneity in it. Sometimes I even find myself doing this. I'm so focused on the warfare as a guy, you know, the warring type thing. Oh, let's go kill some demons and destroy evil, that I miss the joy of it that God has given to it. And so prayer now becomes this intense battle, and I'm sweating, and I'm missing what God's wanting me to get. The warfare is a song. The prayer is a symphony. You're supposed to enjoy it. Let's keep moving on. This is the boldness we have towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, let's work through that. When he talks about the will of God, it obviously depends on the passage that you're looking at, either in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. So when we say it's the will of God something, I'll give you some variations to that. Sometimes when it says it is God's will, and then God judges a nation, that's His will. But His will is based on a violation of His character, and it's a negative, right? There's now also in the Scripture, there's God's will that there's the positive. So it's also God's will not to just judge people. It's God's will to bless people. Both of those are considered the will of God, depending on what's going on in his circumstances. In this passage right here, the word for will that's being given to us is called the preferred, or what God ultimately wants in a situation. So it's what we call God's best for this situation. So let's break it down. If we ask any, here's the confidence we have, the bold reserve we have, that if I look into heaven and peer into what God shows me He wants in a situation, He'll show me the best that He can give, and He wants me to say, yes. Sorry for you guys on YouTube, I kind of yelled there for a minute. Let's move on. So this is what is called Christmas morning in the kingdom of God, and it's supposed to happen every time you pray. Do you guys remember Christmas morning? You waited up all night. What am I going to get? What's the present? I know when we teach on prayer as an adult, we try to get really intense and very specific. But what if prayer was like Christmas morning every time you prayed? What present is God going to release on the planet now? What joy am I going to get to dive into and experience with the Lord in this thing actually that God says you're this rhythm of what the kingdom of God is like? Remember the warrior thing? Did any of you live that way as you pray? It's more of a warfare than Christmas morning or a joy or a symphony. Did any of you guys struggle with that? If you're like me, we need to go through some inner healing and get some pastors to pray for us, because we're missing the depth of this thing. If I don't look at prayer as Christmas morning and it's God's best, I see it as, well, I have to do this, or I've been commanded to do this. The command to pray isn't God trying to put something on you that's unenjoyable. It's unenjoyable because we go at it with the wrong attitude. I don't know if anything gets answered. I don't know if God's going to do anything. And he's actually saying, no, actually prayer, just like everything in the kingdom, has this pleasure and this joy to it, and it literally is Christmas morning. You should actually look at it like, I can't wait to get to pray. Okay, can we, for a moment, just check our own pulse and our own hearts? How many of you wake up going, I can't wait until I get to go pray today? How many of you are in that place? Okay, I'll close my eyes. How many of you are doing that? And you see, this passage is trying to now not only say God hears your prayers and answers them, he wants your attitude changed to where you actually believe what this thing you do, standing and talking to the Lord, actually does something. Now, if we were doing an in-depth study, which I know Chris is going to do all the way to Christmas after I say this, so get ready for it. If we look at prayer in Scripture, there are what we would call a judge holding one of those balancing things. Prayer has a balance to it. And one side, it's called relationship. Prayer is relational. The other side is prayer is transformational in everything that is affected. So as I get to enjoy God, it transforms everything in the world. And what happens is a lot of people say, well, this idea of transforming things through prayer, I don't know about that, and I don't know how that works, so I'm just going to stay on the romance side. But if you're going to get in the romance side of prayer, you need to understand God's romancing you to birth things. I'm not a woman, and I'm going to have a hard time explaining this, so for all the women in the room, please forgive me. I believe that romance is supposed to produce something, not just enjoyment. I believe it's supposed to produce life. When you're being romanced and enjoying the Lord, it's supposed to produce the life of the kingdom. Chris said the right thing. We want to move into a new adventure, don't we? It's time for God to birth something in us. And it comes from this romance with Him. And guys, we don't bring children to term so that they die. We bring children to term so that they produce life and something changes from that encounter. That's what the Bible is now coming to you and I and saying, this is how a dynamic prayer is. You have this confidence before the Lord. He wants something new to come through you. That's why think about that. This season, you're going through pregnancy right now with our nation. I remember the last stage of Kelly before she had our first daughter. When it was time for her to go into labor, I watched Kelly starting to go through birth pangs. It wasn't like going on a vacation. I watched her in pain. I thought, man, that's bad. I actually tried to get away from her, but she wouldn't let me leave, and so then I had to observe it some more. And then as it got closer and closer, she's now sweating, and she wasn't ready for a photo shoot or anything, and she's like trying to bring something to birth. And then, at least for our first daughter, which was really funny, the pain got so intense before she brought our daughter into existence, she grabbed me. You know, I was helping her breathe. By the way, if you ever done that as a guy, it's really funny. Because you don't help them breathe, you join them in how they're breathing. So let's settle down. And then you just forget that after a while. And then they're like, and you're like, so Kelly grabbed me, and she pulled me as hard as she could towards her mouth and said, I'm tired of this. This hurts. I don't like this. Did any of you have similar experiences like that? No one. Okay. That was fun. I know you were, sweetie. Yeah, so she did. I'm not saying she punched me or anything. That was our third child, she did that. But the first child, she didn't do that kind of stuff, okay? No, I didn't say you did. So the guys on Facebook, she's having a discussion with me about this. So, all right, so the point, do you guys get it? When God has your confidence with you, this is the rhythm of the kingdom. This is why it uses women and the idea of birthing and prayer. And do you guys ever read that stuff as a guy and you just think, that doesn't make sense. I don't know what the world that's talking about. But get into the rhythm. God says to Duncan one day, Duncan, I want to come into Woodland Park and bring this city to meet my son. And he burdens him with it. And now he's standing before the Lord and he's in a rhythm of love saying, God, bring this city to you. And all of a sudden he realizes, wow, I've been doing this for a couple months and there's this intensity to it now. It's not eating grapes anymore. I mean, it's kind of like gripping me at a certain level. Well, he's about to produce life. Are you guys with me so far on this? Okay, let's keep moving. So we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, why did it say that? Why didn't it say if we just pray, that's what God wants? Why does it say he hears us? Now, this part of the Greek word is really interesting. It's not trying to prove a theological point that God hears all prayers. It's tying it to you. He hears your prayer. By the way, there are prayers that God, that term he hears us, it's a Greek word, means that he's preferred to hear you. So God obviously can hear all prayers, but does he answer all prayers? What prayers does God not answer? Prayers of idolatry, prayers of sin, prayers where people are worshiping false gods. He doesn't answer those prayers. So whose prayers does he actually hear? This thing is a term that's used for royalty. When you stand before a king and you present a request, he doesn't have to listen to you. He can just dismiss you and say, okay, next person. So when it says the king has heard you, that's a statement of for both for the listener and the person that makes the pronouncement. So when it says when you pray according to God's will and he hears you, something happens to you, and then something happens in the circumstances. So what prayer, when God hears your prayers, how would you know that in experience? This word is tied to the word assurance. So I pray something according to God's will. Have you guys ever prayed, isn't this a phenomenon? I pray, and the peace of God hits me. I'm like, I don't understand. I'm about to be in labor, and I'm at peace. Or you've prayed what we call through something. It's like I try to go there and all I can find is the peace of God's presence instead of like a pushing experience or a struggle. What is that? That's called the king has heard you and said, I've heard your request. And because of that, he puts assurance in your heart that he's heard you. What that also means is once the king has given you an assurance, it also means he's acted in that situation. You can be assured he's going to do what you've requested. So you ask anything according to his will. You ever had that struggle in prayer? You pray and you pray, like, come on, God! And then something breaks. And then there's this peace or this assurance that comes inside of you. And you're like, something's changed. It's hard to define it, but all of a sudden, and then we get amongst each other and begin to have a testimony with each other. Wow, it's like I really struggled with this thing, and then something changed, and then the circumstance changed, because it means the king made a determination in your life, and he said, I've heard you, I will act on your behalf. And look what it's telling us here. You have this privilege to stand before the Lord, look into heaven, sing the song of heaven, let him say, hey, I put that in you, I'm going to give you an assurance, you now need to rejoice over it because I'm going to bring it about. If we know he hears us in whatever we ask, we know we have the request that we ask of him. So let's take the word know here. This word know is always the door that's used in Scripture. The word know, specifically in this passage, it's the door in Scripture that's used for breathed in faith. So not only does God give you an assurance he's heard you, faith is released inside of you. I'm always fascinated by this, and I know Duncan is too. So are you ready, Duncan? Here we go. What is the quality of biblical faith compared to the faith that we try to well up in our heart? The faith that comes from God is God-breathed. The faith inside man who doesn't have that kind of faith is it's called the power of the flesh. One, you can be at peace. The other, you struggle with. Now the Scripture is pointing to you and saying, this is the confidence that you have before God, that if you ask anything according to what is going on in heaven, God will give you an assurance, and then he will breathe faith inside of you. And then it doesn't matter if it's a week, 10 years, 50 years. Once he's given that release of faith, you've become a conqueror in that situation. And think about this with me. This is all of us in our own private time talking to the Lord, and he's actually making you a world changer as you pray for things that are going on in your personal life, in your nation, or in the world. And no one else can see this or understand this because it's a private audience he has with you to change things by this rhythm of his kingdom. I mean, what a privilege that you and think how many people would like to stand before a king and say, could you move on my behalf? And yet here's the king of the universe saying, not only are you my child, you have this place before me and it will never be taken away from you. Okay, let's do the last part of it. And we know that we have the requests we have asked of him. So let's take the word request here. It's kind of interesting. It was used at the beginning of it. Now it's going to be used at the back. Now, request sounds like, well, you know, God, if you feel like it, can you help me? So I'm going to just work through the progressions of the word here. The word request means to ask. It means request. Hey, God, could you do this? It also is the word for requirement, and it's the word for petition. So now the scripture is saying, it's God says you have a confidence to stand before him. And then he's saying, I'm going to now tie it back to the legal thing that was in Genesis chapter 1. Now, legally, you're at the end of this prayer. The reason why you can be at peace and full of joy is because whether we recognize it or not, our whole prayer experience was standing before a king. And even though we were a son and daughter, he looked at it as a courtroom experience. And he said, because of that petition that's lined up with my kingdom and my values, I am going to answer that. And he's tying it now to another level of assurance. And he's saying, it's because of the law part of it also, it cannot be denied. The first month of me being saved, it was kind of a weird experience because 2 weeks after I came to the Lord, my older brother walks up to me and he hands me this book. I'm just new to all this stuff and I'm like, aren't I supposed to just be reading the Bible? And he said, well, I felt like the Lord told me to get... That's when I first heard this language. I felt like the Lord told me to get you this. I'm like, well, what is it? And he just handed it to me, and on top of it says, The Intercessor by Rees Howes. Uh-huh. Okay. And he said, and he kind of required me to read it, which I thought was weird. I thought in the kingdom you had freedom and liberty and stuff like that. And he's like, I want to hear what you think in about a month from now. I'm like, okay. So... have you guys ever heard of this, Rees Howes, The Intercessor? Okay. So I'm reading it. I'm reading this guy's prayer journey, walking with the Lord. He was alive right before World War II and during World War II, and he just chronicles his life as an intercessor. To kind of give you some of the fun parts, at one point the Lord wanted to show him the struggle of intercession. So he made him... he's lived in England at the time. He made him go to the town he lived in and pronounce in the city square that the cripple that was born crippled in the town would be healed on this day before lunch. Okay, so I'm barely saved. I'm reading that, and I'm going through the story, and he's talking about the struggle of unbelief hitting him as he's waiting for that day, trying to break through. All right? And so what do you think everyone in town is doing as he's made a pronouncement that God on this day is going to heal a person that was born crippled before lunchtime? Every form of unbelief, every demonic attack you could ever happen, just hit him. Mocked him. He was being mocked for it and everything. And the day of it, people actually gathered at the house to see if it would happen. Wouldn't you like to have your prayers tested like that, Duncan? And so what happened? Right before noon, the guy got up out of his bed and walked out in front of everybody, and everyone was just absolutely shocked. By the way, a bunch of people came to the Lord that day. I'm reading that, and I'm having a struggle, probably like you guys are. Am I even saved? Just like, who... how can someone know the Lord like that? And does God give mankind that place? And I'm just like, after I got done reading it, I actually had to just put it on my shelf. Have you guys ever read certain books about people and God, and you just point at it and you go, maybe 20 years from now I'll come back to that? I just kind of put that on the shelf and I just went, huh, I don't even know what to do with all that. Then... I'm just kind of living my life and doing my thing. And another person walks up to me and goes, the Lord told me to give... this is literally 1 month later. The Lord told me to give you this book. And I'm like, what is it with all these books? And it's a small little book. And I thought, well, this isn't as tense as the other one. And it's the life and ministry of George Mueller. You guys know who George Mueller is? A couple of you? All right, so... here's this guy doing these amazing things, and then I get this book where this guy's very detailed on how he prays for things and how he logged it in his prayer journal and how he would actually write down the answer to prayer and how God told him, you need to be very specific when you ask for things because I'm trying to build something. So I'm reading his book. I'm getting some ideas here, but I'm reading these two people's books. I'm barely 3 months into the Lord, and I'm reading his book going, am I saved? I mean, who are these people? I went to the fellowship that I was a part of, and I asked everybody, have you ever heard of these people? No one had ever heard of them. And then I said, do you pray like, I want the color blue for this thing, and I asked a bunch of people, have you ever done that? And they're, oh, no, I just say, God, help me. And so I'm like, well, so why does everyone say, God, help me? And these guys, God's telling them, you need to be very specific on this stuff, and you need to, and I'm just like, I don't know what to do with all that. Then God takes me on this adventure. It's too long and drawn out, but he starts with me on praying for tennis shoes. He wants me to pray for the specific brand, the specific size, the color of it, even the black stripe going down the side of it. All right? He used my mother-in-law to give me that for 3 months of praying for it. Didn't know if God would answer it. I get it on Christmas Day. The minute I open up and I look at the box and it's exactly what I prayed for, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he says, I move the hearts of kings any way I want. I went, yeah, that's right. So, stay with me here. We moved to Kansas City. And the Lord comes to me one day, and we were just so poor at that time when we moved to Kansas City, that we'd have to get our laundry and put it in a little red wagon and walk our kids down to the laundromat every weekend to do our laundry. And I didn't care. This is a guy in his early 20s. I'm just so grateful for Jesus. I don't need a washer and dryer. I mean, that's just a convenience that's not worthy of me right now. And about 2 months into living in Kansas City, the Lord comes to me and he says, Brian, remember when I taught you to pray for the tennis shoes? I said, yeah. He goes, well, it's time for you to ask me for a washer and dryer. Now, are you guys ready? That's God speaking to you? Why does God care if I need a washer and dryer? I want worldwide revival. What does this have to do with anything? So he actually tells me to get a catalog out and pick one. So I picked out a Kenmore washer and dryer. I told him the exact model, and he told me to do that. So now I'm praying for it every day. I feel stupid. God, can I have that Kenmore washer and dryer? And the dryer is the 450 model, and the washer is the whatever model it was. And I'm just, you know, I knew the tennis shoe thing, but I don't know if you guys think like this. I can understand God giving me a pair of tennis shoes, but I don't understand washers and dryers, cars, that kind of stuff. So I'm trying to go fast because these are all long, drawn-out stories. So Kelly calls me on the phone one day. I'm working at the Nazarene International Headquarters in Kansas City. They had a car phone. I pick it up. Brian, you'll never guess what's going on right now. I'm like, what? There's a Sears truck standing in front of our house, and I'm signing for a Kenmore washer and dryer. Now, instead of saying, praise God, I said, what model is it? Right? She told me the model, now the exact model. Now, so I'm trying to get to something here. Why did God do that? Well, some people would say, well, because you're a blab it and grab it minister. Or you're just trying to use God to get junk. Now, remember, it wasn't my idea, so let's make sure we understand that. By the way, is that my water?
Yeah.
Thank you. So kind of you. The people online, and the people here, would you mind, just like Chris did, would you mind if I just take a drink real quick? So I'm actually now having a dialogue with the Lord, and I'm like, why are you giving me this stuff? By the way, each person that was involved in these answered prayers, it was amazing how God, each one of these relationships needed to be healed, and God used that person to not only give and meet a need, it also resolved a relationship problem. I just thought, the multifaceted wisdom of the Lord is something else. Okay, you ready for the last one, and then I'll get to the point? I'm looking into heaven one day, just in having a love affair with Jesus. Now get this, he shows me a car he wants to give me. Here's a gold Honda Accord I'm going to give you. He says, now start asking me for it. Okay, are you guys with me so far on this? I'm too unworthy to ask for this stuff. If Jesus throws me a crumb, I'm okay with it. So he has to tell me, I need you to ask me for this. Remember, God's best for you. So now I'm praying for it. God, could I have a 19, what year was the car again? It was like a 1996 Accord, two-door, something like that. And I'm praying for that every day. Just, you guys ready? Full of unbelief. That ain't going to happen. I mean, I know God can give me a Kenmore washer and dryer and tennis shoes, but no way. How is he going to get a specific gold Honda Accord? 6 months into praying for it, I get a phone call. Kelly's out in Colorado visiting her mother. It's my father. I have a broken relationship with him. He says to me, "Brian, I'm getting rid of my car. I want to buy a pickup truck." I said, "What kind of car is it?" "Well, it's a gold Honda Accord." Okay, how do you respond to that kind of stuff? I fell on my knees. My dad's trying to talk to me, and I'm so overwhelmed with the goodness of God, I'm actually beating the floor as my dad's talking to me, going, "How does this work?" Okay, so let's get past the junk. Why is God giving me this stuff? What is he trying to tell me in regard to this scripture that we just covered today? This is why I'm enjoying this season right now, what's going on in the world. He said this to me, "I'm showing you how to secure things in the natural, because when I bring the next world revival, you'll know I'm going to do it, because you've gone through different segments of understanding prayer." Guys, God wants to show you that he hears you. He answers your prayers. He wants to make you strong in the Lord. He wants you to know that nations are changed because when you stand before him, he listens to you. And that you've been called to be on this planet for a season to change the world. Do you guys hear that song? Chris, would you stand for a moment, please? Yeah. Last month I was going to give you this word and you weren't here, so here it is. I was praying, and the Lord brought you before me, and then I saw this breath from heaven come and just go like that right in your mouth. And when it did, you filled up, and you got like super muscular. It was really kind of exciting. I was going to tell you that Jesus was going to like make you a bodybuilder or something like this. And I'm looking at that, and the Lord says to me, "Just share this with my son. I'm restoring zeal inside of him. And he's going to become so strong. You experienced it when you first met the Lord, and it felt like it's faded." And the Lord said, "No, that was just an introduction into a greater reality of what you're going to step into. And the zeal is going to be, when I say intense, I don't mean you're going to be rolling around on the ground. I mean it's going to be such a deep well inside of you that it's going to sustain the compassion that has always been residential. And now you're not going to become weary in your compassion. You're going to have the zeal of the Lord mixed with it in such a beautiful measure that it will actually feed people, call them to it, and cause them to want to step into a reservoir of the zeal and the compassion of the Lord." So can I pray for that for you? Holy Spirit, release your power to your son right now. I ask that the breath of heaven would come upon him. Release the zeal of the Lord upon your son. I thank you for Chris, Lord. I thank you for all that you're doing in him and through him. Breathe life into him. Breathe life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you guys would mind, can we just take a moment here? If you feel like you're under something, you don't even have to define it. It just feels like you're overwhelmed. Would you stand? The Lord would like to minister to you today. He wants to break that oppression off of you. You're not the tail, you're the head, guys. Just put your hands out like you're receiving Christmas. Here we go, it's Christmas time. Holy Spirit, would you come? I ask that, so in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I break the power of oppression. Now, Lord, restore to them a sound mind. A sound mind. I ask that the helmet of salvation would be restored to them, Lord. Hope would be restored. Some of you are being touched right now in your inner man, and God is bringing forth new life that you're going to breathe and sing into existence. You can sense it right now. Holy Spirit, release that over them in the name of Jesus. Break us free from formulaic relationship and set us free into the song. I bless them with your Father's heart. I thank you for their place before you. I'm honored to be with these mighty people that know you, God. Strengthen them. In the name of our Lord and Savior, for the people on the listening also, release your power through even their computers or phones right now. Meet them. Whoever hears this, release your power upon them, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, feel free to drop us a line at emmausfellowship@icloud.com. If you're curious about ways you can be more deeply involved in this community, visit our website at emmausfellowship.org and be sure to like our Facebook page.